Hi, this is Robert Sachs. I'm the author of Tibetan Ayurveda and the book Rebirth in the Pure Land. You're now listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Zohara Hieronymus. She's a wonderful interviewer, and you're going to really enjoy whatever you're going to be hearing with her. If you want to find out more about me, you can go to my website, www.robertsachs.net or diamondwayayurveda.com.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. I'm Zoe Hieronymus, and joining us this portion of 21st Century Radio is a regular visitor to our program, Rebecca Hofberger. Rebecca is founder of the American Visionary Arts Museum, and she joins us this evening to share her passion for the museum, programs, and exhibits, and to discuss the upcoming year-long exhibit entitled Human, Soul, and Machine, The Coming Singularity. The exhibit opens on October 5th. Just around the corner. Welcome back to 21st Century Radio, Rebecca.
Thank you so much, Zohara.
Sure. So your new exhibit, like all of them, asks a question while also making a statement. Talk to us a little bit about this.
Well, I'm kind of a Luddite, and I think I'm probably not alone out there. But most of us get notices from our insurance companies or other things that saying, would you like to opt out of our sharing kind of with the world all your personal information? And frankly, it's so much to keep track of. I think that we're at a time that has never existed before, and the technologies are so powerful. I mean, the revelation that all of our conversations are being recorded would not have been even conceived of in the past, because the amount of data to log would have been so huge. But now with yottabytes, we have that storage capacity. So it's a very, unfortunately, in the negative sense, brave new world. But I also think that there are a lot of blessings hidden within the capacity for technology. But it all lies in the consciousness of those who wield it.
I agree with you 100%. It's not what it is. It's what we do with the technology.
Yeah.
So when you look ahead and you have this exhibit entitled Human, Soul, and Machine, The Coming Singularity, how do you curate a topic like this?
Well, you know, the topic comes because it's the right one for the time. And when I thought it up about 4 years ago, I couldn't have envisioned that that we would be so much in the discussion of the ethical implications of drones, or that there would be, you know, the Bradley Manning and the Snowden time where expressive of what I believe is that anything that can be encrypted can be decrypted. And so on a personal level, it's upsetting to have so little ability to protect our private information. Yet at the same time, that goes two ways for the governments of the world. And I really hope that we're getting into a time where we're not in a blaming retribution way, but that we can look honestly at what we've done, what we do covertly, and get to a point where we can go from that mutual honesty forward to a much better way of negotiating life. And if we don't, the technologies for covert destruction are so amazing, with nanotechnology and biological and chemical warfare brought to this new level, that I do think we will be a short-term species, and that would not be my wish.
And so when you look at artists and art that looks at these kinds of subjects and questions, human, soul, and machine, the coming singularity, and of course those familiar with the UFO field have observed other species that are so integrated with machine that mind and machine are united. And I know Ray Kurzweil, who will be a speaker and a guest at the Visionary Art Museum, or Hans Moravec. I mean, I've interviewed so many of these wonderful creators, but they believe that humanity necessarily is moving forward in technology. And I think, like you, I ask the question, who will benefit? And we already have such a great divide in the world between the technological nations and people who have no running water, no electricity, no bathrooms. And that's my major concern is
but
what do we do with it?
They might have a cell phone. That's the ironic
they probably
thing.
Do have a cell phone.
Yeah. And, these are big questions because there's been inequality for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these guys are really lovely guys,
yes.
You know, really have thought a lot. And, you know, we're going to be honoring Ray Kurzweil on January 30th. But I like the people like Bill Joy, who from Microsun Corporation, who really questioned, do we have the ethical right to birth technologies before we have the capacity to correct what mm-hmm. they may set in motion? And, you know, there's always been that dance where people have been in advance, the same, like, now we have the capacity to have police departments see if somebody is hiding behind even a concrete wall. Well, that sounds great, you know, if you're looking for, you know, someone who's clearly guilty of some crime. But it also means in the wrong hands, this now cheaper and cheaper technology can make, you know, let's say if that existed back in World War II, Anne Frank would have never written her diary.
Mm-hmm. And so when you have artists looking at these subjects, describe for us, if you can, some of the kinds of exhibits we'll see.
Well, you know, I always have to make it playful enough so that if children, you know, school children love our museum,
mm-hmm.
so they're coming through. So we look at the dance that humankind has always had. So we have like a life-size Bride of Frankenstein by Adam Kurtzman that will have electricity going off. And, you know, we've always been interested in our own immortality, be it, you know, the story of Jesus, you know, raising the four-day-old Lazarus to Pinocchio, I Want to Be a Real Boy, to even, you know, the popular fascination with vampires, you know, the whole Ponce de Leon, looking for the Fountain of Youth. And so, you know, in many ways, our bodies are machines. You know, they have circulatory systems, electric systems, et cetera. So the artists I've chosen are people like Alex Gray, who's given an awful lot of thought to soul and consciousness, and we will have four of his sacred mirrors. We also will have the artist who created Robo Christmas back when he was 8 years old through the time he is now 39, and it's now renamed Robo Lights. From Kenny Irwin out in Palm Springs. That's we're having a magnificent almost installation of his work in the center of it. Plus we have the wood carvings of a very awake West Virginia artist named Fred Carter, who back in the, you know, 60s, 70s, and 80s was wondering where the dependence on machines and the industrial manipulation of nature was taking us, because he was in the center of coal mines, and he saw that when the mines weren't being were depleted, you know, what happened to the water, and that all of a sudden they were kind of ripe for being saying, well, here are these huge pits, let's put our most toxic waste in them. So we're seeing that with the sinkholes. We're seeing that, you know, it is one planet, you can't really run and hide. We see it with Fukushima. Never before have, you know, cores breached containment before in human history. So I think that this show will speak not, it speaks of scary things, but it speaks of very beautiful things as well. And there are, you know, 40 some scientists involved with it, and about, I think we're up to 25 artists, including Lindsay Benison, who's done the kind of Borg insects, and Chris Roberts Antio, who looks at what Prometheus's gift of fire set in motion. And it's actually very, very entertaining. You know, Godzilla was a creature that came to the imagination after the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan. So we have a 7-foot Godzilla and tons of large robots that are animated. So I think kids will have the best time, but also, you know, what we like to say from school child to Nobel laureate, that there is real substance in this show. And a very sensitive communal look at what are machines doing to us. I mean, how many of us can't turn off our machines anymore. And we go on vacation and we have pretty much the office in our pocket. And what does that do to family time at the table, or how many of us take time to just be with our family with our electronics turned off and, you know, play board games and laugh and take walks in the woods. So it's the question of, do our machines kind of more own us, or are we using them to truly enhance the quality of our lives?
Well said. And you know, my new book, The Future of Human Experience, looks at this not only for terrestrial experience, but what do we take with us as we go off planet? Because certainly we're in a space age, and this century and next, some say it will be our survival could depend on it. But the real issue is, what do we take with us, and what values are we trying to share in the universe? And I think that these questions are so profound. And I think that that's one of the most unique things, Rebecca, about the American Visionary Arts Museum, is that you really constantly bring issues, whether it's issues of water, or issues of community and textiles, and now this big question, and then look at how other people are asking these same questions or creating things around these issues, when perhaps it's not a political statement as much as a very deep inner journey.
Absolutely. And I'm looking at your book right now, which I have so enjoyed. As you know, my best friend and 100-year-old dad just recently passed away. And so this issue of soul and continuance is very strong in my heart right now. And your book arrived, just in perfect timing, The Future of Human Experience. And I'm counting on really partnering with you to put together. I know Alex Gray is game, and I think he's trying to get Martine Rothblatt and her wife Bina to come as well and participate. But these are major deep thinkers, and it will be wonderful to bring that to Baltimore to really guide just a communal reflection on where we're going, because like it or not, whether you want to live, you know, in the woods off grid, and that's a pretty attractive life to me in many ways. The earth is being so affected by what is happening now, and I think that it's an exciting thing. And sometimes when you were bringing up the idea that, you know, we're probably, you know, destined to go off planet, because maybe this planet will be pretty doomed, you know, with what we've done with the oceans and the water and et cetera. But it's kind of bad. Like, you know, do you want to really export to new neighborhoods? Wouldn't we pollute space if we couldn't even take care of our own planet?
No, I think that's a really right question, which is why that's how I close the book, is asking, you know, it's like when our space program talks about going to the moon, they talk about mining it. So they take the same exploitative mindset that has been just so destructive to our planet, and now our state with fracking and everywhere else, which we know to be so destructive to the air, to the water, to human health, animal health. And yet we have our own governor exploring this as the great late thing for the state of Maryland. And, you know, I think for all of us who have been activists our whole lives, it's a question of conscience, consciousness, and heart. I mean, where is the heart and soul of humanity, not just what can we do to get what we want right now? And I really appreciate that you ask all these questions, and you do it in such a gentle way, but such a direct way. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll be right back. Our guest is Rebecca Hofberger. We're talking about the upcoming Human Soul and Machine, The Coming Singularity, this year's exhibit at the American Visionary Arts Museum. You can find them online at www.avam.org.
I'm Father Paul Mayer. I work for the environment, and I'm the co-founder of the Interfaith Moral Action on Climate Change, interfaithactiononclimatechange.org. And you're listening to 21st Century Radio, hosted by Dr. Zahara Hieronymus, a wonderful interviewer who has brilliantly supported the issue I have devoted my life to, which is climate change and healing our planet.
Amen to Father Mayer, and may he have a total healing. Our guest, if you've just joined us, is Rebecca Hofberger, founder of the American Visionary Arts Museum. She's sharing with us content and questions that will be represented in the new exhibit, Human, Soul, and Machine, The Coming Singularity. The exhibit opens on October 5th, and I encourage everybody to visit www.avam.org for more information on times and schedule. So, Rebecca, it's interesting for me because I don't do what you do. And so I'm curious how, when you think of these subjects, how you go about finding the artist, or in this case, you said there are 48 scientists and 25 artists involved in the exhibit.
Well, you just kind of look for the, oh my God, people, you know,
mm-hmm.
You look for the high note and the low note, so that really that there's a conversation going via the expression of the art. Because in other words, Fred Carter didn't make art to fit my show. In other words, before, you know, going back to the 60s, 70s, and 80s, he was passionate on this subject and did amazingly thoughtful work. I have Temple Grandin's drawings for humane slaughter because, you know, one of the more, I guess, desirable aspects of technology is to be able to get beyond the slaughter for meat, to fulfill the hunger for meat that people have, that they're doing, you know, with the stem cells from the meat that Sergey Brin, you know, funded. So, you know, just I try to look at, we have the cyborg, the colorblind cyborg, Neil Harbison's involved, who's, if you can look at his, if you just Google, you know, colorblind cyborg, TED Talk, it's superb. This young man who was born without the ability to see any color whatsoever. He just sees black, white, and gray.
Hmm.
So sound and color have you know, the same frequencies that can be experienced. In other words, the sound of green is a frequency that is not the sound of red or orange or yellow or blue. And so he has a permanent sensor, like people who have cochlear implants, to be able to hear the color now that's around him. And he's one great charmer, so it's a very positive aspect of, you know, we certainly would, if you were had a child who was born sight impaired, you would never say, oh, don't give him glasses. Well, we're soon going to be in the position where not only will the blind be able to see, but they'll be able to see better than any human being has been able to see. So it's a very new time, and I'm trying to be as open-minded, whereas also really keeping an ear to the ground to people who are thoughtfully proceeding with these new technologies. And Maryland is the epicenter. I mean, 70 of the top 100, you know, defense contractors in the whole country are located here. And so can you imagine, instead of just demonizing that military-industrial complex, which I admit is pretty darn tempting to do, if we could encourage a shift where all of those fundamental, perhaps many classified breakthroughs were applied to help solve some of the biggest problems, like Fukushima's radiation right now and clean technology and et cetera, instead of just oriented so much to the industry of just
killing, the industry of killing. And, you know, and it is true. You know, I've often spoke of the difference between a life economy and a death economy. And a life economy. Yeah, exactly.
That's like my favorite part of your whole book.
Oh, well, that's good because it's only a sentence.
I know. But you know what? It is. That's the new title.
Okay. Let us all support the life economy. And it's interesting because John Perkins, who wrote Confessions of a Hitman, when he and I were on the air together and we were talking about it, and I told him that, he said, well, I'm just going to run with it. And I thought, this is a wonderful banner runner.
Yeah.
Because he understands that we can't just continually exploit those who can't, you know, resist what's going on, whether it's nations or householders. And he explained how we've done to poor nations what the banks have done to householders. You know, oh, you can only afford $200,000 house, but oh, it doesn't matter. We'll, you know, take out a loan for $400,000. And then when the market fell out, everybody lost the value in their investment. And it's the same thing that happens to nations. So you lose everything and you have terrific debt. So when you ask these questions, and this is, of course, what I've been asking as well, and why I wrote a book on this subject, is how do we protect our soul as we integrate our biology with machines and programs. And I know Ray will talk very enthusiastically about bioports and downloading computer programs right directly into our brain. And when I've suggested that I think that it then weakens the other capacities we already have to access anything everywhere and anytime. And so I'm often interested that we have these natural innate talents of seeing everywhere and from everywhere and anytime in time, and then we try to replicate it with machinery. So a fax machine is astral
travel.
Well, that's
the point you're bringing up. In other words, do we already have a level of immortality of our consciousness built in without having the physical mechanism to construct it? And you know, just, you know, whether great thinkers like Teilhard de Chardin said, as you well know, his quote, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And, you know, even I've never quoted J.K. Rowling before, but when she was saying, no matter what happens to your body, your spirit, your soul will go on unharmed. I mean, I think of the very difficult times to be a young person with so much, objectification of what it is to be a young girl or even a young boy. It's just, you know, to this swing from away from thingness into a divine recognition in both oneself and all that is creation around us is what is at our feet now. And the difference is it has been at our feet from the beginning, but right now the urgency to get to that understanding is never been greater because of the capacity to harm every living thing has never before been within the hands of humankind. It is now.
Yeah, no question about it. So it's a beautiful thing because artists have always had the capacity to help other people journey within and to see the beauty in the world and to see the relationship between all things. And I think one of the beautiful gifts that you and the American Visionary Arts Museum have given to the world is that you've shown that anybody can be an artist. In fact, we all are co-creators. And so many of these wonderful artists weren't trained, and they just out of their own soul and their own feeling nature wanted to communicate through imagery. And imagery, of course, is where we all conjoin through archetypes. So imagery, and what we'll discuss next hour with Bernie Siegel, who uses imagery so much in healing, is that this power to envision is a great human power that is really what makes us godlike.
It is, but it's not, I would say that you have to remember that everybody is dreaming and projecting images. And the question is, that power of imagery is not always beautiful and uplifting. It can be absolutely demeaning and destructive, you know, as all powers can be well wielded in two ways. So what I'm just hoping is that, and I see it, I see it, that at least the quality of the discussions and the, are becoming richer, and they're coming from surprising quarters. I mean, I quote Omar Bradley, you know, the great general who was very concerned about technology and where it would lead us, and, you know, whether we as a humanity were keeping pace with our highest ideals. In his case, he expressed it as the Sermon on the Mount. So it's there's some unexpected voices. Certainly, President Eisenhower, with his famous speech, will be playing as you come in at the key parts where he really, as a soldier, who said, "I hate war like only a soldier who has fought can hate war." Mm-hmm. You know, he warns about the greed aspect of letting weaponry take the tax monies to such a level that we get to a point where do we lose to what we're trying to defend from without? Do we lose it from within?
Well, I want to encourage, we are out of time, so I want to encourage everybody to go to the American Visionary Arts Museum, take part in Human Soul and Machine, The Coming Singularity, talk about it with others, go to www.avam.org, and the opening is October 5th.
Love. stimulating talk around the clock.
And breaking news now
on Talk Radio 680 WCBM, Baltimore, and WCBM.com.
Fox News Radio. I'm